There are things we believe. We believe that all churches, all Christians should believe. But there are also things that, as I explain it in our Coffee and Covenant meeting, there are things that families like. Some families are campers. They love to camp or they love the lake. All right. Other families are sports. They love sports. All right. Some love just to be together with their family, you know, lots of extended family time. Others don't want to be with their extended family at all right? There are different things that are all good that each person keys into, all right? And here at our church, there are lots of great things about Christianity, about faith, but we key into four, all right? And they are, last week, the Word, the Bible, Scripture, all right, and its power and its authority and its being alive. Mission. It is about outside these walls, not inside these walls, all right? And then this week, we're going to talk about the celebration and the body, all right? Now, one of the things that we all ought to be able to do that I don't think we can, and that's fine. If somebody asks you about our church, you know, obviously we want you to say we love it, or we want you to say it's wonderful, or we want you to say stuff like that. But, you know, we also want you to be honest, so do that. What are we about here? All right. What are we about here? Well, you ought to be able to say something like, hey, we're just about Jesus. All right. We're not about a style. We're not about a building. We're not about money. We're not about politics. We're about Jesus. And if you come to this church, what we want you to be able to do is find Jesus around a bunch of people who aren't okay. What do you mean aren't okay? We ain't okay. Well, we're broken. We're broken. Come find Jesus with a bunch of people who need Jesus. Because if you go to a place where everybody's got him and everybody's not broken, you ain't gonna feel in place. You know why? Because we all broken. So you're either with people who are perfect or people who are lying. Sorry, but those are the options, okay? So what we want at NBC is for you to be able to go, hey, come find Jesus with me in a place where it's okay to be not okay. And how do we find Jesus at NBC? We focus on him first, and in doing so, we dig into the Word, we celebrate the Word, we come together in the Word, and we preach the Word. That's what we do, all right? There's not a lot else. They got a lot of questions. You just say, come and see. Well, what about come and see? That's what we do. So, what does it mean? Well, last week you got the Word and the mission. If you don't understand them, go back and listen to the podcast, okay? All right? If you do, great, we're going to go to the next two. The celebration, all right? We believe in the celebration for this reason. We believe the church has lost its party. And we are in a 3.5-year process that we're not done with of teaching the church how to party. Now you're like, what do you mean party? Like Friday night party? No, celebration. We want it to well up inside of you. Remember a scripture that you all know? See, one of the things I hate is that when we know scripture, but it doesn't mean anything to us, all right? So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. You know, you anoint my head with oil. What's the next line? My cup runneth over. What does it feel like to runneth? I go to churches all the time, and I don't feel like Jesus runneth over. I don't. Sometimes the preaching runneth over. Sometimes the dirty looks runneth over. Sometimes the tight suits runneth over. Sometimes the I don't want to be here look runneth over. But you know what I want to runneth over here? Joy, love, happiness. Woo! I want to get a little party back in church. Now, if that's not for you, we're probably not for you. Why not? Because I can't find in the Bible where people didn't celebrate Jesus. You don't attend Jesus. You don't just see Jesus. I learned this week, I learned a word that changed me this week. Not part of the sermon, this one's free. It's all free, but you know, hey. Do you know what we spent? I've always struggled. I've struggled for the last several years with this. The Holy Spirit, just hear me. All right, I'm excited about this, and it wasn't planned, so hear me out. I've tried to teach you about the difference between evangelism and discipleship, and I believe that you need both. But I believe from the 1950s until the 2000s, that 50 years, we spent all of our energy, all of our money, all of our time making converts. Getting people saved so we could write down a number and fill our pews. But we never taught them how to be believers, be disciples, be like Jesus. That is a fail. That is an absolute fail, all right? So here's the difference, all right? We don't want people to meet Jesus. We want people to know Jesus. Think about your friends. Think about your relationships. There are people in your life that you have met. We call them acquaintances. And people in your life that you know. Knowing takes vulnerability. Knowing takes conversation. Knowing takes a relationship. And here's the thing. I had a guy out here. This is what happened. This happened in a divine moment in a sermon. There was a guy working on the wall out here, and another gentleman was walking across the parking lot, and they knew each other from their drug backgrounds. And this guy says to this guy, "Hey, I'm just tired. I need something." And this guy said, "You need Jesus." And so he gets me and he says, "This guy's tired. He needs Jesus." Well, that's great. But if I say a prayer with that guy, I say it and nothing happens in his heart, and him and Jesus shake hands and they go their separate ways, that's nothing. But see, in the last 20 or 30 years, we've taught people to do that. In fact, I explained to the painter guy exactly what I thought, and he goes, "I like that." He's been a Christian for years. No, I never told him. So here's what I did. I was right there. I sat down on the steps with this man, and I said, "What's going on? I just got to change. I just need to be different." "Well, that takes work." "Yeah, that's right." I said, "I'm a straight shooting guy, man. I'm going to go home and I'm going to finish the dinner that's already started for my family. And I'm going to be here at 11:30 tomorrow morning. And I'm going to wait for you. And you're going to get your friend and you're going to take care of whatever you just told me you had to take care of tonight. And you're going to meet me here at 11:30 tomorrow. And I will start the process of walking you through how to get with Jesus, what I will do, how we will walk together. Let's build a relationship." He said, "Awesome." I never saw him. Now, I'm sad, but that's not on me. Because praying a prayer for someone doesn't make them what Jesus wants them to be. It doesn't put them in a relationship. And I want people, we are working toward people getting in a relationship with Jesus Christ and with one another. Now, that's going to help set us up for next week, all right? But it's also, listen, why we celebrate, all right? The celebration. Now, one of the I've used the same passage every time I've preached this, and I'm going to do something a little different now. Because here's what happens, all right? Sometimes people come in and they say, "Well, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like celebrating." Well, what I want to say back is it ain't about how you feel. But that's not true. Let's be honest. That's not entirely true. You should worship God whether you feel like it or not. But if we're honest with one another and if we're in a relationship with one another, we realize that some days it's harder than others to give God the praise and the glory He needs to be given. We need encouragement. We need to know that somebody's walked that way with us. We need to know that other people cry with us. And sometimes our worship needs to be hurt. Our worship needs to be painful. Our worship needs to be, and I've told you this before, crying out like David cried out when he was alone in the cave. "Where are you?" In the middle of worship, "Where are you?" And God goes, "Waiting on you to say, where are you?" God is awesome when you're friends with Him. Wait, I'm supposed to revere Him. Yeah, you got to do that too. But the Bible says, "I am a friend of God. He calls me friend." We got to be careful. Because He's more than a friend. He's a Lord also. God is a lot of, and that's why it takes a relationship. You're learning all of these things about God. So let's look at a few people in the Old Testament who actually struggled. All right? There was a woman named Hannah in the Bible. And she was barren. Barren. Couldn't have children. And she'd prayed to God, and she'd asked God, and she'd worked with God, and God said he would come through, but he never came through. He never came through. And here's what the verse says about her. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. She goes to the temple. She stands before God. She throws her hands up and she goes, it's been so long. It's been so difficult. I'm here and I'm going to praise your name, but I'm going to praise you with what's inside of me. And that is, Dad, I hurt. Dad, I'm sad. Dad, I'm just reaching. I'm continuing to reach out to you. All right? The Bible says that she left that place. And God did what? Do you know what he did? He gave her a child. Does that mean that every time I do something that God wants, I'm going to get what I want? No. But it means in the reality of where you are, in the truth of your worship, God does honor it. Sometimes it gets bad. Anybody remember what happened to Job? Anybody remember? Job got struck down with giant steroid-enhanced boils all over his body, blisters that popped and burst, and his skin hurt so bad that he broke pottery and used the broken pottery to scratch and cut himself, sat down in the ashes, and his wife said, curse God and die, boy. Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground, what? And worshiped. Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I will return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be, or may the name of the Lord be what? There comes a time in our relationship with God when we understand in the good and the bad, God loves us, has a plan for us, makes a way for us, is watching over us, and will provide for us. Here's another one. Now, King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. They got the ark. They found it. They were bringing it home. So David went to bring up the ark from the house of Obed-Edom. And when the city of David, to the city of David with rejoicing, when those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. David returned home to bless his household. The Michal, daughter of Saul, came out and met him and said, oh, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of all the slave girls and the servants as any vulgar fellow would do. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone in this house. And when he appointed me ruler over Israel, I celebrate that. I will become even more undignified than this and be humiliated in his eyes before the Lord and the slave girls you spoke of. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. David did what God said. He finally got the ark back. David pulled all his clothes off, started dancing around. This is the king. Started dancing around in the street in front of everybody, all right? Some translations fully naked, some half naked. If he was in an ephod, imagine a white yoga suit on a guy. Yeah. And he's just, woohoo! Slave girls are like, king! And his wife, Michal, is like, well, didn't you just make a scene out in the middle of the street? Didn't you? Dancing for the girls, dancing for the people, not dancing for me. And David looked at her and says, you know what? You're right. I wasn't dancing for you. I wasn't dancing for them. I was dancing for God. And let me tell you a little something, something. I will become more undignified with that. I'll get more naked, look more silly, get more crazy if it means God gets how good I feel. It's for Him. Some of y'all need to catch that little virus. Now, again, I am not saying I need you stripping down, throwing your hands up, and dancing in my pews. Not going to draw the attention we need. But if you were honest, sometimes you feel a little weird, undignified, putting your hand up, don't you? Sometimes you feel a little weird standing up. You feel a little weird when the Spirit starts to move and you're like, no, still, be still and know that I am God. No, wrong verse during worship, okay? Out of context. Well, Craig, sometimes I don't feel like it. Well, you need to get to know Him and what He's done for you. Well, sometimes I just want to sit here. That's okay. I'm not saying all the time, but every one of you knows that there's been that little something-something one time where you were just like, man, I like this song, and you started to do this, and then you're like, oh, I'm Baptist. Some of you need to get a little woo-hoo. Here's what we want. Worship should bubble over. Here's the problem with that. Whatever has been happening to you, whatever you've been doing, whatever you've been filling your cup with the week before, that's what's going to run over. If you fill your cup with Kool-Aid and you keep pouring Kool-Aid and you look on the counter, it is not going to be coffee that is all over the counter. But some of you expect that to happen. You sow discord. You sow gossip. You sow nothing. You come in here and you're like, you know, you raise your hands and you think the Lion King's going to come out and Hallelujah Chorus is going to reign. You do. But you've been pouring Kool-Aid. And some of you are drinking the Kool-Aid. How about that for an old joke? Do you hear me? If you're filling up with nonsense, when it flows over, guess what's going to flow over? Nonsense. You ready for this? If you're filling up with nothing, guess what's going to come out? Nothing. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers, but that's probably the biggest problem we have in this room. You're avoiding all of the wrong things, but you're not taking the time to fill up with the right thing. You're not willing to sacrifice to do the God-called things. You're not, you're not trusting God. Well, God, I just don't have time. You don't have time. I made time! Well, God, I just don't have the money. I made the money! Well, but you don't understand. Somebody was in my office this week. And it doesn't matter who. Somebody was in my office this week, and they were talking to me about some self-esteem things, okay? And I don't know where I got it. I'm not a trained counselor. I just love my people and want to help. So here's what I said. I said, I have no problem if you want to continue to waller in your self-pity and in what you feel like is your worthlessness. But here's the deal I'm going to make with you. I will allow you to waller in your self-pity if, during your self-pity, you will look God in the eyes and you will say, you messed up, I'm not good enough, and that's why I feel this way. That's the deal. And that person looked back at me and was like, I can't do that. Well, then stop wallering. But he or she is not the only one. She's just the one that's admitting it. We're all broken. Some of us admit it, some of us don't. Some of us hide it, and some of us don't. If you're in hiding, guess what comes out in your worship? Hiddenness. If you're faking, guess what comes out in your worship? Fakeness. If you're filling yourself with the Spirit of God and His Word and His love, guess what's going to come out? Watch the worshipers around here on Sunday morning. Walk up to one of them and ask them what it is they're drinking, what it is they're eating, what it is they're taking in. Seriously. you want to learn how to play basketball, you don't ask a ping pong player. You want to learn how to worship, ask a worshiper. But here's the deal here too. Not only do I want you to understand this, I want to become this. God's people will worship him in what? In spirit and in... I don't want you to fake it. You're crying out to him and your tears come. I want you to let them come. Well, you just don't understand what it's like. I understand exactly what it's like. I've done it in front of you. Well, what if I just feel like dancing? Dance on. We'll cover up the Baptist name for 10 seconds. Come on. I don't care, y'all. I just want to have, ready? Church. I don't have church. I want to have church, you know? I want your cup to run over. I want to see the expression of your life, your love, your relationship with God, and your total overwhelming awe of who he is and what he's done for you. And I want to do it together. Well, Craig, what if we all don't feel the same way? That's good. Do you know why that's good? You know why that's good? It's a good thing that the stomach and the heart don't act exactly the same way. If the stomach pumped blood, how would that go for our digestion? Poorly. If the heart had stomach acid in it instead of blood, how would that go? What do we need the heart to do? What do we need the heart to do? What the heart does. What do you need the brain to do? What the brain does. If something inside you stops working like it's supposed to, what happens? Anybody? Nurses? Not nurses? If the heart stops, what happens? If the hand just stops, yeah, it's dead. Yeah, thank you. Took a teenager. Where are y'all at? Eye stops working. Your hearing doesn't go bad. Your eyes go bad, you know? Come on. Listen to what Paul says about how we're supposed to work. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, all the many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. He says, take anatomy and let's have theology class with it. You want to understand? Here it is, plain and simple. For we are all baptized by one Spirit to form one body, Jews or Gentiles. God is saying, this is what I prayed for. Jesus said, this is what I prayed for, and you can look in John, but I'm going to talk about that at the worship night we're going to have later. I'll tell you about that. But I'm getting excited. I'm spitting a little bit, but it's on my family, so it's okay. All right? It's all good. My mom loves me anyway. All right? Slave or free, we are all given to one Spirit. So it's all about one. And Paul says, how do I help you understand it? Think about your body. You don't walk up to someone and go, oh, look, two hands, 2 feet, one head, one nose, two eyes. You don't. You go, human. Body, it's one thing. It's like walking up to an egg and going, oh, look, a shell yolk white. Do you do that? No. It's an egg. One body, but many parts, okay? This is the part we talk about whiners. I heard a buddy of mine preach this passage, and the title of his sermon was Rock Stars and Whiners. I'm going to tell you why, because it was great. Here's the whiner part, all right? Let me back up. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Wah, wah, wah. I can't pick up a coffee mug, and my owner loves coffee, so because I can't grab the mug, I'm not worth anything. If a foot decides that, does he cease belonging to the body? No, because God knows we need it to be there. If some of you come along and go, wah, 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 I'm not good enough, I'm not tall enough, I'm not smart enough, I don't have enough hair, I'm going to say, you're me! You don't cease to be a part of the body because you're whining. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? Paul is doing exactly what I'm doing to you. If the foot picked up coffee, how would we walk? God made us this way for a reason. All right? But in fact, God placed all the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If we were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, one body. That was whiners. Here's rock stars. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I'm an eye.
The all-seeing eye. The hand can't see. I'm an eye. I don't need you.
All right? On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable. Now, I've used this illustration before, and I'm going to use it again. Nobody wants to be the rear end.
The buttocks,
okay? The anus, okay? Nobody wants to be that. But every time you eat Mexican food, you are thankful. You're thankful. I am glad that there is not a hand there. Aren't you? The parts you're less thankful for that you think are less worthy have power. They have good jobs that we're thankful for. So be careful what you ask to be rid of. Because there's a purpose. Even if it's a stinky one, it's purpose. My job stinks. Yes, it does, but please keep doing it. All right? On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem weaker are indispensable, and the parts that are less honorable should be treated with special honor. Okay? Rock stars and whiners. We have a group of people who says, well, I'm not good enough, smart enough, I shouldn't do anything. Yeah, you should. We need you to do your part. We have others who say, my part's so good, I don't need everybody else. You fail too. A church built around you is going to fail. Well, Craig, what do we do then? We realize that we're all one. Mike realizes that he needs Leslie. Leslie realizes that she needs Jim. Jim realizes that he needs Lee Allen. Everybody God called here. Everybody God called here. God knew what you were made of, what you liked, what was sown into you. Jeremiah, I knitted you in your mother's womb. He knows what threads, in what colors he gave you. And what's he doing? He's building the church body, okay? Well, great, we're all apart. That's all well and good until you decide not to do your part. Do you think God is surprised that we've got a children's ministry back there that is almost the same size as our worship service? Do you think God is surprised by that? Okay, if God's not surprised by that, do you think that he's good and provides for all of our needs? All right, then why do we have a shortage of children's workers? Because they're not here yet, or because some of us aren't doing the job we were called here to do? I'm not going to answer it. I'm just asking. If A is true and B is true, then what is wrong? You want to do another one you're not going to like? Do you think God knows exactly how much money we need every year? If you think God knows exactly how much money NBC needs every year, raise your hand. So, with the people God called here, if he knew exactly how much we needed and he knew exactly how much he asked everyone for, don't you think full well that if every member of the church gave the amount God asked them to give, that we wouldn't have exactly that? So what happens if somebody doesn't do their job? Part of the body is what? Missing. Is it my job to make up yours? Is it the heart's job to reach out and pick up the coffee cup if the hand decides not to? I know you don't want to hear this, but this is exactly the way it was set up. And if it's set up that way and we trusted him, we would find, you ready for this? More than we could ever ask for or imagine. That's what the Bible promises. If you stop saying you trust me and actually trust me, if you understand that up front, I said, this is not going to be easy. Following me requires sacrifice, but that I will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Everything is already set in motion. The question is the body acting like the body or not? Are we a bunch of individuals doing what we want, when we want, how we want? Our goal here at NBC, one body, one church, one goal, one Jesus, answering the prayer that he gave in John. My prayer is not only for them alone. My prayer is also for all those who will believe in me through their message that they may be one as you and I are one. so that the world may know. Listen to me. Not a revival, not an evangelism tool, not a Rubik's Cube, not a quaint story, not a sermon, not a t-shirt, nothing, nothing, nothing will reach the world like this one thing. God's people getting along and loving one another. Why? This is my command, that you love one another, that your joy may be what? Complete. You know what you're scared of? Same thing you're scared of in a relationship. Same reason people get cold feet in a wedding. Truly loving people's hard. Why is it hard? Let's go back to the beginning. What did I tell you up front? We're all what? We're all broken. Who do you get hurt by the most? The ones you love the most. And letting those people in, as scary as all get out. Letting people know where my scars are, where my wounds are, what my sins are, that's scary. It's especially scary for a Baptist pastor. Because you know what happens when people find out the Baptist pastor's broken? Then the Baptist pastor's poor. Because the Baptist pastor's homeless. Why? Because the Baptist pastor's not a Baptist pastor anymore. Come on. Y'all know it. He has to go be a Methodist pastor because they're a little more forgiving. That's true. That is the truth. They're way more forgiving. You making jokes. That is factual. I know a ton of them. I'm not being mean. I pat them on the back for that. But I like y'all, so hey, I told you up front I was broke. You got what you... This is me, messed up. Kathy Murphy said the best thing to me this morning. Not the start. The first thing she said was, when I die. That's not what I wanted to hear. But after that, she said, when I die at my funeral, I do not want you to wear a suit. She said, don't even wear khakis and a button-up. I want you in your jeans like I'm used to seeing you. Praise the Lord. You know why? Because I might not have been what Kathy was looking for, and I might not be everything Kathy would write down as a pastor, but I'm hers, and she's mine, and this is what she got, and she likes me the way I am. That is one. You understand? That they may be one. Scars and bruises and hurts and pains. Church, I'll fight for that. I'll fight for that. And when people come into our place, I want you to fight for that. If you want to get all scarred up and bruised up and know that there's going to be somebody there to pick you up, welcome. If you want to be snooty up and dressed up, we'll love you, but you may not like us. It is what it is. Oh, man. Let's read. So that there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for one another. And if one part suffers, what church? Every part suffers. And if one part is honored, what church? Listen, I want to celebrate your victories with you. I want to text and I want to pray and I want to call and I want to be there in the storms with you. Because that's what the body does. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helping, guidance, tongues. Are all apostles, all prophets, all teachers? Don't read too much into this, folks. This is a list of different gifts and different types of people who do different types of things. And in this scenario, it is not teaching us about those things. The Bible does teach us about those things, but this is not. This is simply saying, if everybody were a preacher, this wouldn't work. If everybody were an usher, this wouldn't work. If everybody were a custodian, this wouldn't work. We need bankers, plumbers, Walmart workers, we need the whole thing. Okay? We need you to be you. Because nobody else can be you better. And if God is calling you here and you have joined up here, we need you to be all in. Some of you are like, well, I need you to let off on this or stop asking me about... No, I'm not. if my ear was plugged up and I couldn't hear, would I just go, I don't want to tick it off, so I'm just going to leave it like that because it's okay? No, I'm going to go to a doctor and I'm going to figure out why I can't hear. I'm going to get it unplugged. Think of me as your own personal unplugger. I don't think I ever want to say that again. Didn't come out the way I wanted, and now didn't come out. Yeah, this is going bad. Yeah. Yes. Just write that one off. What happened this Sunday? My preacher called himself a plumber. Plunger. All right. Here we go. Here's all I'm asking. It's my job to get you to do your job, to empower you to be all that God made you to be. God, thank you so much for these people. Thank you so much for the real sermons like today that don't have to be eloquent, and they sometimes aren't all in a straight line like, you know, people need them to be, but God, that they're rich and full of your word, and that they tell us exactly what you need from us that we need to hear over and over and over again. We've got to do our part. We've got to give. We've got to serve. We've got to love. We've got to be united. We've got to work through. We've got to be painful through. We've got to sacrifice. And God, every Sunday, we don't have to celebrate you. We don't come just to be with you. We get to enter your presence. We get to cry out your name. We get to pour out our spirit. We get to cry, laugh, dance for you. And we thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.